The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation.
The Foundation of Hearts Grant is brought to you by Alive, Bahamas Liquidation Center, Better Living Health Center, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Doctors Hospital, Epic Battery, Grace Kennedy Money Service, Grosvenor Medical Center, Jazz in the Gardens, Click, Marco's Pizza, New Life, Pinder Tile, Prince Masters, Ron's Electric Motors, and the Water and Sewage Corporation.
We're gonna call our very own. Nassau Rock and Nassau Road. Nassau's got a whole lot of soda. Feel right. Mini skirts, maxi skirts, and afro hairdo. People doing their own thing, don't care about me or you. Nassau's gone funky. Nassau's got soul now. Oh yeah. And we've got a doggone beat now. We're gonna take care of business too. Listen to the drummer playing his beat. Listen to the bass man go get that same groove every. Listen to the guitar give that soul some too.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Brown and your company, The Foundation, live and in full effect on this beautiful Monday, February 24th, 2025. Hope you guys are out there doing well. Hope you had a good weekend this weekend, just kind of chilling out, doing your thing. We are excited for the show today, being able to talk to you about a great deal of things from a historic standpoint and really being able to get into the empowerment concept, the idea of revival, rejuvenation, realignment with the true core and spirit of who we are as a people. You hear that funky Nassau in the background? You know who we got. We're going to be able to jam today. But before we do that, I got to shout out my good, decent people over at AFS, Insurance Agents and Brokers. Check them out. They got everything available for you. They're located number 407 Blue Hill Road South. Give them a call, 341-1-AFS. 341-1-AFS. Now, we're one day away from this 50% off that we talked about. This 50% that you can get when you go to Coco Plum Wellness Bahamas. Coco Plum Wellness Bahamas, 50% off on the 25th of every month in the year of 2025. If you want to be able to go and check that out and get yourself 50% off of the hydrocolonic, right? You could be able to get that thing taken care of. And what is that? That is just the cleaning out of your stomach, of your spaces, just to be able to ensure that. We talked about the diseases that exist in our stomachs, how we've been tired, how we've been dealing with some stuff under our eyes, have been black, groggy. We don't have the energy to kind of move the way that we want. It's because of some backup that you have, and we want to be able to talk about that. You get 50% off on the 25th, which is tomorrow. 50% off on this kind of state-of-the-art, one of two machines like this in the entire Caribbean, state-of-the-art space that you can be able to go to and get top tier. It's angled somewhat of a 45 degree just to be able to ensure that you have, all the space that you need to ensure that you have that exit, that pass that you're looking for. You want to be able to check them out, CocoPlumWellnessBahamas.com. CocoPlumWellnessBahamas.com. 25% off on Mondays. 25% off on Fridays. Let them know you heard about them here at the Foundation. 25% off Mondays, 25% off Fridays, and 50% off on the 25th of every month, which is tomorrow. 50% off. You want to be able to make that booking as quick as possible. CocoPlumWellnessBahamas.com. CocoPlumWellnessBahamas.com. You also want to be able to go down there and check them out. Over, check out Da Vinci Printing and Innovators. Da Vinci Printing Innovators. I keep saying and innovators. This is because I really see them as innovative and progressive in their space. So you want to go down there and check them out, guys. They're located in the Village Road Shopping Plaza. Right there on the side of the bank, you could be able to go there. And we talked about this. We talked about those kind of letters that you used to write to your sweet thing in the can years ago. Maybe this particular person has passed on. You've seen some stuff after these persons have passed on. You want to capture that. You want to kind of blow it up, put it on your wall. You want to be able to do that. Maybe your baby, you found your oldest child now who's getting married. You found some of their, scribbles that they did in the first grade. You want to be able to amplify that and present it to them. Sort of the journey. There are things that we can do if we think outside of the box. And Da Vinci Printing Innovators assist you with that. Guys, you want to be able to go down there and check them out. They can take very good care of you. Always make sure that you're accommodating and in that kind of a space that you can be able to do that. Like I said to you, they're located on Village Road Shopping Plaza. And you can check them out. I want to give you the number so you can give them a call and see exactly what's what. The number is 677-2922, 677-2922. You can be able to check them out in that space and get any and everything that you need as it relates to printing and in this preparation to move to that next step in your life. Guys, pick up the Guardian newspaper. All the information's in there. You can be able to see exactly what's what. A man killed in front of daughter. This is heavy stuff. I know you saw the video. I watched the video. I thought this was brutal. And as I watched it, I realized that this was both brutal and personal. That one fella didn't want to leave. This is crazy. I want to talk about that when we get a chance to be able to do that. But I think we got a full stacked week this week. So we're going to see the best how we can be able to get to these local conversations. Exuma seabed lease for mooring sparks. Concerns. I saw the stuff that came around to my phone this weekend, and I've been able to see those things. It says World Bank highlights region's education crisis. It's peculiar that our government has taken on this kind of a posture to be reactive yet again about what needs to happen and what should happen from an educational standpoint when we've been screaming this for a long time. But let's be decent as we continue to be able to talk about these things. It says police make up nearly half of the rehired retirees. This is what the minister says. And I don't know whether or not that appeases and sort of alleviates our contention socially about the fact that you don't need them. I just want to be decent with you. If you're not training your people in preparation for the next step, it's not our fault that you have to bring back retired police officers. You should be able to have a succession plan and talk about those things. But that's neither here nor there. We're going to be talking about these things as we go forward and be able to do what we have to do. I got to be able to tell you guys just a little bit about what's happening out here. I know that some things have shifted, so we got to be able to read these things. So Governor's Medical Center wants to be able to let us know that they are screening for the colorectal cancer should begin at the age of 45. So it says that to reduce your risk of colon cancer and schedule your colonoscopy today at a reduced price for the month of March and April. Dr. Harold Munnings, located next to the Princess Margaret Hospital, we are offering an even lower price for those who present their NHI cards. Give them a call today at 328-5550. That's 328-5550. Guys, get your colonoscopy. This thing should start at the age of 45. I'm a tad bit away. I think some persons say it should start earlier, but you can definitely give them a call and be able to get more advice as to what you do. 328-5555. Going to be able to make that thing happen. Guys, it is a beautiful thing. I had a great conversation, man. It's a couple times ago, and this is even way back from I was in Grand Bahama, as I get into this, and being able to hear the song Funky Nassau as a child. And dance into that and astonished, you know, because you listen to the production as a child, because as a child, you're listening to Michael Jackson. As a child, we were listening to, you know, all the greats out of America. And there was a distinguished position between Bahamian music as a child. Don't fight me. As a child, there was a, I had it in the 80s. I could hear a distinguished position between Bahamian music, which had our colloquialism wrapped in it, which had this kind of a feel and flair that told the stories that we needed to hear to remind us of a time that existed, you know, that lines up with what Grammy them say, right? And then you hear Michael Jackson, you hear the hip-hop, the R&B, all these things start to come in. And there was this sort of a polished approach and articulation that we always say, well, this is American music. I heard Funky Nassau as a child and said to myself, I wonder who these people from as a child. As a child, I would hear these songs and the production value, especially after I watch the Blues Brothers, the production value of these particular things, you would think that the writers, the producers, those particular persons who bring that to the forefront and brought it to life was not a part of the country. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you that I'm excited about this conversation today. I had a great opportunity to be able to meet our brother Ray a couple of times. And you know him. You know him very well. And that's Raphael Munnings. You know him very well. He's been doing this for a very long time and really been committed to this. And he's come from a lineage of persons who've committed and performed at the highest degree. I want to be able to introduce you, ladies and gentlemen, to none other than Raphael Munnings. My brother, say good afternoon to the people out there.
Good afternoon, Bahamas, and good afternoon, Grant, Mr. Grant. You know, where were you 55 years ago?
I wasn't here at all.
No, I understand that. That's why I'm asking question.
Yes, sir.
When, because it still is needed now. When 55 years later, there are no real managers for, you know, because the music industry is exactly that. You know, it's not just playing and singing the music and performing it and a couple of your friends pat you on the back and say, oh, that I like the song which y'all play. And 3 months later, it's gone. This particular song has stood the test of time. It is now, like, officially 55 years old, the song itself.
I want you to do that. I want you to take me back to 69. Was it 69?
Actually, it was recorded in 1970.
In 1970.
And it came out that same year here in the Bahamas, but it wasn't until 71 that after it went through the whole routine in Florida, Henry Stone, who was then the record company that put it out, Alston Records. And then he subleased to Atlantic Records. So there's a story in there too. Because, and like I said, you got to let me know when to slow down.
No. I'm with you because I just need to know the inception.
Okay.
I need to know where this was birthed. I know you came from a family. Your father had this. You could tell me a little bit about the Cat and the Fiddle, the exposure to artists both local and abroad,
exactly.
That kind of an entrepreneurialism, that empowerment that you felt over the hill, that you didn't feel segregated, you felt empowered because music really ran the city. Music and this culture moved our nation in a particular manner. And so I want to know what happened in your mind, in your spirit. This is just before independence. This is just after the PLP had find themselves in the particular position. There was a different feel, a vibe, a spirit that sort of descended upon the city of Nassau, more specifically, but the Bahamas itself. What was happening in your mind and your spirit to cause you to be able to write a song like this?
Well, thank you very much. That's a mouthful. The song itself, Funky Nassau, was penned by myself, and my first cousin, Tyrone Fitzgerald, Dr. Off, as most people know him. But we grew up, I was maybe 2 years older than he was, but we grew up in the Cat and Fiddle and around the entertainment that was, I said, I didn't have a situation where I had to go to see the artist. The artist came to see us here at my father's club. Like I say, all of the people at that time, everybody from, we just lost him, God rest his soul, Jerry Butler, just passed, I think, 2 days ago. And a couple others, I'll talk about them a little later when we get a chance. But so all of the artists that came here, I can see them free, meaning we own the club, so everyone, like I said, from Jerry Butler to Aretha Franklin to Otis Redding to James Brown, you name it, they were at that club. And so I was able to, and to meet these people one-on-one, meaning, you know, I could go to rehearsals, I could go to the matinee dance because I was too young to attend the night dances or functions. And so I had access, and having access meaning, like I said, I was able to meet, when I was 16, Martin Luther King and his wife, Coretta. And so being exposed to this type of person.
Here in Nassau?
Yeah, at the Cat and Fiddle, which is right across the street from here, was very right across where the bank is. That is the exact location where the Cat and Fiddle was set up. And it was the Cat and Fiddle, and my father, after Ghana got its independence, he was so proud that they did that. He built another room, smaller on the side of it. The Cat and Fiddle could hold about 2,500 people if you've got a big
2,500
people, Nat King Cole. That's what he had. So, the thing is, or the names, and I'm not just name dropping.
Nat King Cole too.
Of course,
this
me too.
Is crazy. Wow.
I'm saying right across the street from your radio station, and like I said, that started in the 60s, and like I said, at that time, I was still in St. John's College, of course, mm-hmm. and I got to make some big leaps if I'm going to, because we only got 2 hours, right? So, well, I'll try to cram it in as much as I can. But like I said, when I started, I really started with my father. He didn't own the Silver Slipper. Now, if I say that to you, you might know where it was. Mm-hmm. Because the Silver Slipper was right opposite the Cinema Theater. So where's the cinema, or was the Cinema Theater? That's as you come down the hill on E Street, and you pass the Saxon Corner. What that name? Mason Edition.
Mason Edition, yeah.
Well, the Chinese now own a store there, a food store,
yeah.
Or a wholesale food store. That's KK Tong. Let me give her.
KK. Yeah.
So, like I said, they bought the property, but that's where you hear people talk about the Silver Slipper. That's where the Silver Slipper was.
Wow.
And I had my first stage of performance in there at 4 years old. My father took me there to a matinee, and he said if I would go up and sing, he'd bring me a tricycle. Now, you know, that's a no-brainer.
You can need a tricycle.
Yeah.
I can need this.
And so I went up and sang. And after he came out, had on a Santa Claus suit and brought me the tricycle. Now, of course, being who he was in the club, he said I could ride it on stage while the show was going on. And so that's the kind of privilege that I had at the time. And so we started there. And he was, of course, the feature. He had the band could fluctuate between 12, 13, 14 pieces and maybe 10 because of the horns and they had a violin player that would play all the time there. And so, and this is back in the 60s, where I was born in 1947. And so, like I said, I was about 4 years old. And so I had a chance, like I said, and they brought artists as well, like people like Lloyd Price. Actually, Lloyd Price was the person who did Steiger Lee. That was his
Steiger
name.
Steiger Lee.
Yeah, exactly. He was the original
performer
on that.
Wow.
And so I grew up in an era where I was able to meet all these people and to know them one-on-one. And so to fast forward a little bit, my father asked me one time if I want to be like the person on stage, or I want to be the person that hired him. We would pay them what their fee was, and the rest is ours. So after I got a little older, I said, I want to be the one on the stage. And so if I knew then what I know now.
Yeah, you'd sit behind the scene and collect.
Well, that's what it was. So we were a part of both sides of the stage. And he himself, as you know, was really they would call him at the time the Perry Como of the Bahamas, mm-hmm. the kind of voice that he had in there. Mm-hmm. So I grew up in that kind of environment, and when I went to St. John's Center up on, that's when it was up on the hill on Market Street. And so we formed a little band that was out of the people, you know, my friends at the school. We had Ozzy Brown from Bimini. We had Atomo Bo. Of course, you may or may not know him from here.
I know Atomo.
Atomo. You can't miss him. And Robert Smith. They said two places. But the main thing I know was from my grandmama. It's too much. But anyway, he was from Exuma. That's where he's from.
And there's some Smith that settle in Grandmama, by the way. My grandfather's a Smith.
Yeah? Well, I thought you said Grant because I'm supposed
to... I'm a Grant. I'm a Smith. My grandfather's a Smith.
A little later down, my mother, she was from Eleuther, but she was the people that owned the laundry on Shirley Street. I don't know if you know them. Well, she was related to them.
Really?
So that's another story. We can get into that a little later. But my thing is that being exposed to all these entertainers, it really gave me a chance, like I say, to have confidence on stage, and we would do little concerts at the local places in Nassau where there was no liquor.
So you didn't necessarily have this writing ability in you. Your inspiration came from an environment that says, if they could do it, I could do it.
Exactly. And not only that, but I was a natural for it. Meaning I didn't have, because I didn't decide that I want to go to.
Did you play an instrument?
Play keyboards.
Okay.
And like I didn't want to go to Juilliard because my father did that before me. Everything that I did was natural. Of course, I did piano lessons. My godfather was Eric Cash. I don't know if you know of that name, but he, and of course, I told old man after a while, I say, I ain't going back there no more because he too stale.
Mm-hmm. Meaning his
way of teaching. That's my godfather. So I wasn't paying. We weren't paying to go there. I mean, to go to the lessons. But he was the organist at one of the big churches here. As a matter of fact, I was christened there. But I got, so my music came from the, because again, that's why I say Mr. Cash, my godfather, was stale, because the things they want me to play, I don't want to play them. I want to play Stand By Me. You understand me? Music, pop 40 music like that. And so that's when we started to form the band. I got in with all of the, like I said, Curtis Mayfield at the time was my favorite artist and the group. So one time they came to the Cannonville to perform. And so
Curtis Mayfield.
At the time, and the Impressions, that's when Jerry Butler was a part of the Impressions. You know, that they started together.
Wow.
No, I'm saying, but all these things, I ain't talking on my head. These are historic facts. And so, and like I said, Jerry, wow. Curtis died a couple of years ago, but Jerry just passed this week or last week. So, like I said, being exposed to all of this type of talent, that this what you're hearing on the radio every day, and you know of them and what they do. But when they came here, I was still at St. John's, of course, attending high school up there. And so on our lunch, we had hour and a half of lunch, I think it was. So we would get on my bicycle up at St. John's on the top of the hill by, where's that? End of Market Street. And ride down to the Cat and Fiddle to rehearse. I say, guitar player, his name was Smitty, or Robert Smith. So I say, Smitty, man, if you plug in the Curtis Mayfield amplifier, you can sound exactly like him playing. So we went down there, plugged in, and after about half an hour, the amplifier stopped working. And they got to do the show that night. So I say, gentlemen, let's get out of here before they find out we broke the arm and go back to school. I don't know what happened that night, but I didn't hear any more about it. But that was it's like the man with the cherry tree. Who was that who cut it down? And he owned up to it afterwards. But anyway, like I said, things like that or things that happened to me was because we had the availability and was exposed to those people.
The impact was amazing. The impact was amazing. I want to be able to talk when we get back. I want to talk a little bit about this sort of an impact where you started in such an innocent posture, mm-hmm. but now the influence has gone and ran through the entire globe. Let's talk about those things. This, when we get back, guys, we're here with none other than Raphael Ray Munnings, just being able to talk about Funky Nassau and its inception, and then being able to talk about a few more things. Let me get back after this.
Join Sherwin Gardner for the Find Me Here album launch on February 28th, 7 p.m. at Bahamas Harvest Church, JFK Plaza. Featuring from the USA, Kalante Gavin and Katiri B, and Positive from TNT. This will be one epic night full of blessings. Get tickets at a live events app or Bahamas Harvest Church and SherwinGardner.com. A blessing's gonna find you here. Powered by Alive.
Now let me see now. 326 EPIC. Hello? Hello? This Epic? Eckert Battery? This Miss Beulah from round the corner. I hear you're selling tires now on Wolf Road 2.
Praise the Lord. It's about time. I live Fox Hill and Fire Trail. It's too far.
That ain't all. They open Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Sunday and holiday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
My brother Sam, he's a hacker, and he could go right there and get fixed up.
Call us at 326-EPIC. We ship also to the Family Island.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
There. Are you overweight, have pre-diabetes or diabetes, high blood pressure or cholesterol, and want to reverse or manage these diseases? Our Get Fit 7 Weeks Wellness Program is for you. The program starts on Tuesday, April 1st, and space is limited. Call Better Living at 323-5473 or 328-5658 to reserve your spot. The life you save might be your own.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Just something a little different for you on this beautiful Monday afternoon, February 24th, 2025. Being able to talk the way that we are with some of our, the history, the value that exists in our country, some of the times that we take or don't take to be able to look at it and really be able to praise it and the commitment that is made in these particular spaces. I think it's important that we do that. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting here with none other than Raphael Ray Munnings, just being able to talk about Funky Nassau and its inception. First question I wanted to be able to know is the influence. The influence existed because of his exposure, because of opportunity, because he was a natural at these things. It's in his DNA. And one of the things that I'm seeing that you've done a little different, and I want to say this, because there are many artists that came out maybe after you, maybe even before you, that has not had the acclaim, the international exposure, and the opportunities that you had because of formality. Tell me what you did. You started to tell me about how you recorded the song, how you borrowed what you had to do, and how it's, you know, kind of amplified it to something else. But what do you think you did differently on this song, in the recording, in the pursuit, than any other guys were doing in this particular at this time?
Well, you know, Howard, Bahamians didn't listen to the song, the lyrics of the song, because it was 1970. It had just turned 1970, and the whole Jimi Hendrix, these were the people that I listened to musically around that time, and all of the other R&B artists that were there. Of course, my father had, like I said, a 15-piece band that they played every genre of music in the clubs, that the Cat and Fiddle and the Silver Slipper at the time. So I was accustomed to hearing these, not just records, the live musicians on stage playing them. As a matter of fact, every time I would go to the Silver Slipper for a matinee, I couldn't go to the night dances, of course, because I was about 4 or 5. I would go up where the drummers, because I could, the drummer was always elevated, about maybe 3 feet. And I could see all of the band, all the band members. I could see all the people on the dance floor. And I wouldn't move from there until matinee was over. Matinee started at 3 o'clock. I would be up there. And I could, like I say, I could take all of this in while the matinee was going on. And so that was one of the things. And like I said, not only that, but my father, his band consisted of a lot of West Indians as well as Bahamians. So the music that they played, including Cuban musicians.
Which is big at the time.
Well, you could turn the radio on in the night and you could pick Cuba up.
Right away.
His day, yeah. So, and that's even when it was ZNS1. So that, all of that exposure, I was a good listener, and I was absorbing like a sponge, you know, everything that I could pick up and learn. But I never was interested. I say not that I wasn't interested, but I didn't think, because my father was the most brightest scholar, of actually going through a university for music and having to do that. So I was a natural. I'm not blowing my own horn, but I was able to hear it. And I could either imitate,
but
or,
you translate. But I'm asking, what did you do to translate not just the sounds and the presentation of the music? I'm talking about the administration.
Okay, well here you go. I'll come to that. But real quickly, the beginning of the end had 4 members. 2 were my brothers. On guitar, we had Leroy Munnings playing guitar. He had already spent his time working on stage, because he's about 4 years older than me, with my father's band, from the Cat and Fiddle and places like that. My other brother, Bud, Frank Munning, he was the drummer, and Fred Henfield was the bass player, who was a very good family friend, and myself, I played keyboards and sang, and that was it. So, like you say, the administrative part, we were working at all different locations and different bands. And we got together one day and said, look, we're tired of this. We're going to form our own band and we're going to record a hit record. So everybody, of course, they thought we were kidding or were not serious. And we took the time out, stopped wherever each one was working, like I say, with a different group. And he said, we ain't working no more. We went back into, right next to the Cat and Fiddle, my father had built a club called the Ghana Room, because he did that when he was so proud when Ghana got his independence from the UK. And he called it the Ghana Room. And then he gave that club to me. I was about 17 or 18. And if you saw the decor, the way it was inside that room, they had the Africans hunting in the jungle looking for lions. That was the first time I saw black lights. It was illuminated by black lights and the paint that made it look actually almost.
Your daddy did that?
Almost, yeah. This is back in 1965. And so I was exposed, and he gave me the club.
Your daddy's a visionary.
How'd you guess? Well,
no, I'm serious.
Well, that's what I'm listening, talking listen. About.
Listen, okay, so you don't know this, mm-hmm. but as I listen to you, I listen for legacy, I listen for inheritance, I listen for how do you pass the torch, I listen to succession planning, I listen mm-hmm. to, and then you, your brother, everyone's picking it up.
Yeah.
Once you're around your father, you're picking this up.
And exposed to the same, to those same.
But I also hear in the principle here, and the principle says, greater works than these you should also do. This is the principle I'm hearing.
Exactly.
And the principle is, no matter how great and a visionary your father was, because of his exposure and what he poured into you, you all had to be better than him. Well, you had to go to higher heights.
That is what Martin Luther King asked.
That's an amazing thing.
We went, one day he said, Ray, I got a friend that's coming in. From he was from Atlanta, Martin Luther King and his wife,
Coretta.
Coretta, yes. And also Ralph Abernathy was there with his wife. So he said, I want you to go fishing with me. This is a friend I have that's coming in town, and I want you to meet him. He said, he's already popular now, but he's going to be a very, very popular person one day. So I said, well, Daddy, I would... This Saturday morning, I was supposed to go play basketball over in Sutton Senior Schoolyard. So he said, I want you to meet this person. So anyway, we went. He was staying at the British Colonial at the time. And he said he had hired a boat for half a day to go out. So we were on the boat, an hour passed. As I went over to him, I ain't seen no conch slop, I ain't seen no fishing in line. I said, what time we can start fishing? Because I could have been playing basketball in the schoolyard. He said, no, Ray, I brought you to meet Martin Luther King. And so when, of course, we started to talk.
Which year was this?
This was around, I would say
62. 63, 64. Yep. Well, my God.
And so, like I said, so we... he said, of course, he said the question, you want to be like your father when you grow up? I said, well, not really, but, I mean, because his music wasn't the kind of music that I listened to.
You wanted something like more funky.
Yeah, you got to funk this up, man. but he played everything from the classics, I mean, on stage to his audience. And so we talked like that. And he said, well, whatever, he said, I say, oh, that's exactly what you said. He said, you got to be better than him. I said, that's a tall order because, like I said, they called him the Perry Como of the Bahamas. He was a crooner. and he wasn't too bad looking himself. And, of course, had a few dollars more. So he was set. So that's another story for another day. So the thing is that he and Martin had a real good close relationship. And he said, you know, the FBI were always trying to find out where Martin, they wanted to make sure he was in the United States. Anytime he left, they wanted to know where he went, how long he'd been to sea. So anytime he was coming to the Bahamas, the code with them was he would send a telegram. And the telegram would say, violets are blue, to my father. Now, once that was the secret to that
you
was.
You gotta stop. This is, you gotta put this in some books.
I mean, I done
this
it on the way.
This is crazy. Go ahead, let me hear the violets are blue.
Okay, the violets are blue meant that I'll be there in a week, right?
What? You're on court, they are court.
I'm telling you that's what it was. So I wasn't too young, but this is what he was telling me. He said he would get a telegram saying violets are blue from Martin Luther King. That meant that he'll be there.
Look out for me in a week. I can be chubby.
Yeah, I can watch out. So this kind of environment that I grew up in, like I say.
He would always bring Coretta?
Yes. I would say I only met her and him together once. But I have photos that they took inside the Cat and Fiddle. They're watching the show, the native show in there. And so, and not only that, like I said, Ralph Abernathy would come. Other people, too, that he'd bring down along with him because they wanted to get away from the U.S. for a while because the pressure was on. That's, you know, like I said,
this was
60s.
Black liberation time. This
exactly.
Was, this was during the Panthers' time. This was the time that you saw a lot of black groups find their strength. This is during Malcolm X time. This was during a time where the CIA, the FBI was down on these organizations and really trying to be able to snuff out and take the strength from
All I got to say
them.
To you is preach, Howard. Preach.
This is it.
That's exactly. Actually, and your analogy is perfect because, and that inspired me to write a song about him. And again, the co-writer with me on this one, with Dr. Off, it's called Sleep On, Dream On. My eyes wide open, but I cannot see. I'm wide awake.
Sleep On, Dream On?
Yes.
Okay.
I have a rough copy of it. I can. I don't. I'm sure he don't have it, but I have
it on the internet.
Huh?
It on the internet? Sleep on, dream on.
Dream on.
All right. Let me take this quick commercial break, and when we get back, we can be able to talk about this 2 seconds, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here with none other than Ray Munnings, being able to talk with some great stories, man. I mean, this thing got my mouth drop. I didn't know this was gonna be this today. I'm excited about it, hearing all
Thank
about
you.
Violets are, what is it, rose, what is it?
Violets are blue.
Violets are blue. That's a code. That's maybe code, I can be there in the week. Quick break, guys. Going to be right back after this.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery charges, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5267.
Ready to talk to someone about your health and receive the personal attention you deserve? Imagine having clear thinking and energy every day. Welcome to New Life, a health store featuring electric cell foods to cleanse and replenish the body, plus an alkaline deli and on-site consultations. New Life, your alternative to disease. Located in the Independence Drive Business Park on East Street South. Visit newlifebahamas.com or call 323-6080 or 1.
Fall in love with your water service this February with the Water and Sewage Corporation's Sweet Savings Campaign. Pay a bill in full on or before the due date. Complete the entry form, and we'll sweeten the deal with a 5% discount on your next bill. That's right, save some sweet cash just by keeping your account current. It's simple, it's easy, and it's our way of saying thank you for being a valued customer. Don't miss out. Offer runs from February 1st to the 28th. Show your water service some love and enjoy the savings that come with it. Visit our website at wsc.com.bs today to learn more. Pay in full, save more. It's that simple with Sweet Savings. The Water and Sewage Corporation, refreshing your life with Sweet Savings this Valentine's Day.
It's time to let the world know.
Get ready, Bahamas. It's the 242 sales that you've been waiting for. One day only on the 24th of February, 2025. The deals drop at 2:42 p.m. and end at 5:24 p.m. That's 2 hours and 42 minutes of massive savings. Shop over 24 amazing items, including furniture, appliances, kitchenware, and so much more. Score up to 60% off of your favorite finds right here on Mackey Street on the 24th of February at 2:42 p.m. Don't miss out. These deals are gone in a flash. Only at Bahamas Liquidation and Auction Center, where we say hello to goodbyes.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Thank you.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Just a few, well, it's 1 o'clock. Sleep On, Dream On by Raphael Ray Munnings. This is extremely impressive, my brother. He says he wrote you wrote this right after you met Martin Luther King.
Right, back in 68. No, he died in 68.
Right after he died, you wrote it.
Yeah.
After he died, he wrote it.
Yes.
This is extremely impressive. You would have met him. You've had a relationship with him. Your father had good connections, so much so that you had code.
Uh-huh. Well,
Violets are Blue.
Violets are Blue. I'll be there next week.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's 1 o'clock. We got to go to be able to take the news. When we get back, we're going to dive deeper into this. I see your telephone calls on the line. The line's going to be wide open. We're going to dive deeper into this conversation to find out how do we revive this spirit of entrepreneurialism and empowerment with the culture that we have and the creativity that belongs to us. Quick break, get to news, and be right back after this.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
Education when school. You were taught the difference between the wise and the fool. Yeah. The teacher looked at you and then she said, you might as well be dead. You might as well be dead. Go find your head, that's what the teacher said. Go find it, baby. Look in the mirror. In the deep blue sea, look in the water. Is it there, baby? Oh, baby. Yeah. Why do you express yourself? All you got to do is express yourself. Go find your head.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, at 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation. Here, beautifully being able to talk about the tapestry that is Black empowerment via culture, via music, this kind of an idea of true empowerment. I'm sitting here. And I'm speaking, if you didn't get a chance to be able to pick up the top of the top of the show, you got to be able to listen back to this. I'm sitting here with none other than Raphael Ray Munnings, being able to talk to us about the beginning of the end and being able to talk to us about this idea that was birthed in him, this idea of liberation from others, this idea of being able to bring in a little bit of funk, a little bit of spice to the traditional music, to the traditional sound that existed in this particular space and creating a song, Funky Nassau. But the implications of Funky Nassau goes deeper than just being able to hit you with a rhythm. It speaks to, it's a timestamp, global timestamp. You know that? It's actually a global timestamp.
You're on target, my brother.
It's a global timestamp, yes, because the world started to be able to shift right there after 1965,
people
66.
People doing their own thing. Don't care about me or you.
Exactly. After 1965, 66, when you got this kind of a liberal movement, when you had this person start taking, I don't know whether or not it was the Quaaludes that y'all used to have back.
Saracen.
You ain't even talk about that, right? I don't know whether it was. What it was that this liberty, and this is what I keep telling people, when you see places like Berlin take on a position and they fight to be able to get the wall loose, it's a wall they used to pass every day. Never agitated, aggravated, never provoked to be able to do anything. But there comes a time in life. Oh, God, I just have to get preachy. I'm going to calm down. There comes a time in life where there is a release of a spirit. This release of a spirit is not only felt in your geographical location. It is the world over. And Funky Nassau was a part of this liberation, this shift, this move for empowerment and this shift into a new era. And it's actually a timestamp, a song that has gone the world over. You've made a significant amount as it relates to being able to do that. This song has been sampled tons of time. How many times this song has been sampled?
A minimum of about, I'd say, 90 times. And by 90, I'm talking from Carlos Santana right down to the saxophonist, you know, Candy Dulfer. I don't know if you're familiar with that name. On and on to Herbie Mann, you name it. And, you know, these are different genres I'm talking about.
Different genres?
Yeah. And so,
I heard this in hip-hop.
Yeah, not only hip-hop, but it's called B-Boys, B-Boying.
Yes.
There's at least 50 of them, or Fat Boy Slim.
Yes.
All of these people have covered this song and have millions of hits. Millions.
Song has gone the world over.
More than 10 times around.
And I want to commend you, because let me say something to you. Thank as you. I listen to this, and guys, I'm coming to get telephone calls. Please give me a call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the Family of Islands, 242-300, 5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. As I'm listening to this song, I tell you, I listen for different things. Mm-hmm. I don't hear what you're saying, right? Not that I'm not listening to you, mm-hmm, but I listen beyond your words. And I hear empowerment, I hear access, I hear opportunity, I hear, even as you start to talk about your father, I hear proximity, I hear, this is why fathers are important. This is what I'm hearing while you talk to me. Mm-hmm. This is why fathers are important, just because of proximity. There is purpose in that. And he can be polished, your children, men can be polished when they watch their fathers. They develop, they do this. And this is extremely impressive.
Right. Well,
I want to say this to you.
Thank you very much.
I like things like this.
Thank you very much. I tell you, you should have been born 55 years ago. I mean, you're
well. I don't think my daddy was ready for that kind of action.
No. But you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Why I say that is because the first manager that we had, a business manager, came from L.A. looking for us. We had the song was already a hit. He didn't make it a hit. It was already a hit. You made it a hit when we borrowed $2,000 from my uncle. And all of that happened after that came from that $2,000. So, like I said,
your uncle let you $2,000 in the 70s?
Yeah.
He was balling. He had big money then.
Yeah, well, of course.
$2,000 in the 70s? Wow.
Well, okay. I know, but that $2,000 paid for 6 round-trip tickets to Miami. We went to a studio in Miami, which was the best studio at that time, Criteria Recording. And it just, again, the miracle happened. What happened was, that's the Bee Gees were there that night, and also Aretha Franklin was that night there that night recording. So the owner of the studio, he said, he asked me after we were through, because he was listening in on the session. He said, please give me permission to play this with Jerry Wexler, because he's going to be in here tonight with Aretha Franklin recording. I said, sure, no problem. So, little to my surprise, I didn't know that he was going to, I thought he was just talking, you know. So, about 6 to 8 months later, the record company that I did sign with before going to signing with was Henry Stone, Alston Records. And Alston Records happened like this. It's when something is supposed to happen and it's the right time, it happens. Nothing can stop it. Ain't no stopping us now. So what happened was he heard the song, and when he went to his friend, Henry was his friend, Henry Stone. And Henry, of course, did all of the Why Can't We Live Together, Betty Wright, Casey and the Sunshine Band. They were his main groups at the time, but none of them had sold in excess of a million copies. So to get back
so
to...
So the best they did was gold.
Right.
Never went platinum.
It went gold within... We put it out in March of that year, of 71. And by July 17th, it had sold in excess of a million copies. That only about four or five months. So multiply that by 55 years. Do the math.
You still got records for that then?
Oh, look, I tell my business on
here. Okay, go ahead. Don't fight me. Let me take this telephone call, because people won't call you. Yeah. They were getting your business also.
I knew, like,
caller on the line. Go ahead, caller.
Same answer.
Hey, who's the Howard?
All is well, my brother. What's happening?
All is good. You know who this is?
This is Brother Williams.
Brother Wallace.
Brother man. Wallace, go ahead.
But you talking to my uncle, man.
Yeah?
Who's the young?
Well, enlighten me a little bit more.
Enlighten you a little more. I didn't talk to Bud.
Uh huh.
I didn't talk to Roy.
Yes.
And I didn't talk to Freddie.
Uh huh.
Talk to my granddaddy.
Yeah.
You was the only one I never talked to. And he used to hear a lot about you.
Why you won't talk
to
me?
You on the show this morning. I said, Gotta. I have to talk to you.
More than happy to.
Yeah, this your sister. I believe you was but 2 or 3 years old, didn't you?
Uh huh.
So old as child.
Which one? I got plenty of sisters. Who's that?
Terry? Yeah.
From in Florida or from here in Nassau?
She's from right here.
Okay.
My mother's living on Shirley Street.
Okay, well, you know I had quite a few brothers and sisters.
I know.
So, God, he was busy.
Yeah.
You know Anya, right?
Of course, yeah. That's Roy's, Roy's
yeah,
sister.
Anya was the two daughters when it comes to the sisters.
Yeah, for...
I only didn't know Anya.
Anya, yeah.
And Anya used to be together a lot. Right now, Anya's still living down to Malcolm Road.
You got to call your uncle on your own time, cousin. You call on the radio time.
Yeah. But come on, number where I can catch up with you.
Okay, I can give it to let him do it officially.
I can say that you want me to give it out to everybody so you can do it?
Yeah, I don't mind calling me.
All right, no problem, guys. The contacts is 829-5957. That's 829-5957. Or you can be able to hit him up on the landline, which is 242-677-5957. 5957.
Huh?
829-5957. You got that?
That's
829-5957.
That's the cell.
Yes.
What the landline is?
677-5171.
677-5171.
Or 5161. 5171.
Or 5171.
Yeah. All right, my brother, good talking with you.
What did you say your first name was?
He gone. It's Brother Wallace.
Brother Wallace. Okay, Brother Wallace. It was nice speaking with you, of course.
Yeah, he's gone. He's out there. Guys, give me a call and be able to talk to you about these things. Now, I want to talk to you about something else as we transition to the next part of this conversation. There has been, like I was going when we gone off to commercial, there has been a true sense of empowerment that was expressed by blacks in our community over the hill. That despite the fact that segregation existed, that despite the fact that we knew that there was a line that separated the haves from the have-nots, those in the over-the-hill community found their empowerment. They found their strength. They found they found their thing, their knack, their niche, and they was be able to develop their skills. It was culture.
Yes.
People from all over the world came for this sound, this flair, this flavor, this nightlife, this type of this this jive. They came to be able to join the, enjoy these particular things. You had tourists that come from over the hill, wherever they were, from the British Colonial Hotel, wherever they were staying, to be able to join you at the Cat and the Fiddle, to join you in these particular spaces. Talk to me about the fact that after 1973, I don't know if it started before that, but after 1973, we saw a significant decline in that nightlife. After the independence of the country, after the true empowerment of the country, then those voices, those spaces declined in such a way where they're only part of our memories now. We don't necessarily get to be able to enjoy them the way that we did. Talk to me about how do you believe that happened in the country and whether or not we could revive that.
How much time we got out?
Well, you give me whatever you got.
That's what I'm saying. You know, that's a very, very, very loaded question, because when you say after independence, that means...
Now you're supposed to kick off.
Wait, no. You won't listen to me.
Okay, go ahead. Hang on.
Yeah, you are out. Yeah, I won't. I have another brother that really enjoys that side of the politics. My thing, and I have a sister too. She's like that. So, but my thing is, Howard, that, like I said, the after 73, of course, that was the independence time. Everything changed. Everything was, like I said, over one of his personal beefs was, he said he really never wanted to work in the hotels, and that's why he built all the clubs that he worked all over the hill. The Silver Slipper was on East Street. The Cat and Fiddle was down here at the time. It was called the Base Road, but this is Nassau Street. And he wanted to be among his people, because even when he started bringing all of those names that I was name-dropping, the James Brown, Rita Franklin, Count Basie, and he had Little Green Apples. It was, you know, like, but God didn't make Little Green Apples. He brought him as that singer when he was down here, Count Basie. And so, being exposed again to all of this, and this was over the hill, before the Bahamians could go and rent those ballrooms and the hotels to have their conventions and the other things, they had to come over. They wouldn't rent it to them at the different hotels. I might get in some problems saying this, but these are the facts. So once the bridge went up and Bahamians could then go in the air-conditioned ballroom, they decide that they want, instead of having the old man wouldn't charge them for having their conventions here in over the hill, right across the street from you, where the bank is now. That's where the Cat and Fiddle location was. And so the Bahamians now started to drift. They ain't wanna come over the hill no more. They won't go in the hotel when they're having a function. So it's a long, in-depth, it's not a quick story. There are a lot of things that happen, and they would then rent the Holiday Inn and have functions like I just mentioned. As a matter of fact, the first Miss Bahamas contest that they used to have, all those would be held in the Cat and Fiddle because they didn't go in the hotels, and rent the rooms.
As soon as they could get in the hotel,
they gone. So and everything started
to
gravitate towards it. So there's more than that, but I'm just saying that is the gist of what, to say what happened and why. Everybody got a little bougie. And so...
Get a couple of dollars now.
So they go into the hotel to have their function. And not only that, too, all kind of things.
But just before 73, they couldn't do this.
No. No.
Before independence, before...
Exactly right.
And the Bahamian flag rose.
Not only that, I know this is flagged in doing all the other things, but they couldn't, not only that, but the women couldn't vote, as you know, the first time around. When the now government, after that, he sat down with people like... some Milo Butler and all the people, the black men that had monies here, and say, now how we can fix it, because we got the right to vote, but the black people, especially the women, say they couldn't vote for the black men because they can't, they ain't know how to pay them. So one of the, and so they said they had to find a way. Well, now how are we going to put it together to get the women to vote for us? Because you couldn't just win if you had the men voting.
No, you need the woman vote.
And so my father won. Of course, like I said, he had some funds at that time. And he said he came up with the idea. One of the ideas that he came up with was Avon Calling, meaning he got the franchise for Avon. And so they would let the ladies go out on the street and sell the products that they sold from Avon. And that was a way, because that would say we have to find the black men in the country would have to find a way how they can put them to work.
So this was looking for something for them to do.
Exactly. To have an income. You know, even like I said, back in the day, I'm going to take a quick backward step because I want to tell this. I really was born through the corner of East, Ball's Alley. That's where I was physically born. And when I was born there, actually, my mother was lucky enough to she was able to work with the people that wrote Ellery Queen. They were here vacationing with their two young kids, and she was up on top of East Street Hill. There was a hotel there, the Royal Victoria Hotel. And so she said, these people, their kids, she used to babysit them. They fell in love with her. They say, well, so when it was time for them to go, they tell their mother and father they ain't going home. They're only 5 and 6, you know. Say they ain't going home, but they won't stay. If they can't carry her with them, they want to stay here. So, of course, when he approached my father and said, well, how are we gonna do this? Because we would love to take you with us. But the old man had to step in and say, no, take who we are. What to do? What? No, no.
I can take the woman.
No, not only that, but she was pregnant with me at the time.
Mm.
So after a lot, and they get all the papers straight and all that to go back. They were staying in Connecticut to go back to Connecticut with us. I was born in 47, so that's 46 sometime when we were talking about this. And so after them discussing it, they said, well, you know, there's so much opportunities in the States, schooling and the medicine and, you know, like that. So he said, okay, he tell her, all right, you can go, but you got to be back here before I was born, because at that time, when you became 18, Uncle Sam was an ask.
Right off
you
the top.
You go, let's
go. Your daddy is a smart
Uncle
man.
Uncle Sam's what I'm telling you now.
Your daddy is a smart man.
How you know so good?
I'm listening to you.
Well, and this is the truth. So,
but things ain't nothing changed, you know? Excuse me.
Uh-huh.
There is nothing changed. Uh-huh. Only the surface and only the way they say it. Mm-hmm. But the same requirements is now coming into effect.
Well, I'm telling you, this is what it was. So anyway,
this
I went.
This is heavy.
I didn't know what I was. No, I didn't. I mean, I was in her stomach at the time. So
it's 46.
Yeah, 46. Now going on to 46. So he keep writing up because there was no, you can't call nobody in them days. Writing up and say, well, when you
so
come.
So you're not home, but no woman.
I don't know about that, but
this is a lot. Okay, go ahead.
You are
go ahead with the story.
These low questions.
Go ahead with the story. Go ahead.
Those are like your head. Good. So anyway, but I mean, to cut a long story short, because we have like this part one of the whole thing. You know, we really go to part 16.
So we need a documentary. We need it.
Yeah. So no, but what I'm saying is that what happened was that. It was like about 3 weeks before it was time for me to be born, and she keep telling him she said, and you know he don't go on plane, so he had to come on the boat from Nassau to Connecticut, and then screaming and kicking, you know, to say because you got to go back to Nassau, you don't want me to be born in the United States. When they got back here, 7 days later, I was born.
Mm.
My birthday is July 7th, on the 7th day of July, 1947. And the 7s have been happening ever since then.
Three sevens.
well, three so far, but there's plenty more. But so
you can cause these people play numbers.
But these are that's the way it was supposed to have been. So the to come back real quickly to Martin Luther King, Martin again he was in not just Nassau, he was also down in Bimini. He went to Bimini quite a bit. He wrote the I Had a Dream speech down there.
Mm-hmm.
He said he took the man who took him on to tell him when he got out in the water, just cut the motor off and let the boat drift, because he wants to think of what he was going to put in the speech, I Had a Dream speech. And all of this...
People don't know the influence the Bahamas had on these things.
That's what I'm saying. Peace and quiet. You could just relax and things will come to you from the
cosmic. I so love this conversation. I hope the Ministry of Tourism listening.
Well, that's another long story.
Yeah, we ain't getting into politics, but I'm simply saying to you that if you just close your eyes and you listen to what you're saying and you start to envision, the quiet plains of Bimini, exactly. And you start to envision Ball's Alley, and you start to envision the hospitality that existed in this space, and you start to envision how this kind of an idea of what existed when we didn't have nothing.
Exactly.
And opportunities came to us. We have to identify the strength that we had as a people and revive that. That's all I'm saying.
Well,
all I'm saying to us as a people is that we didn't have to wait for anybody to do that for us. We took it on.
And understood our strengths and weaknesses.
And we took it, we did it. And where there was weaknesses, we found partnerships to be able to support to get us through this. Where there was weaknesses, you found your cousin, you found your brothers to be able to do this. Where there was weakness, you said, hey, listen, we got to gather together and do this. Even when you, before you knew what it was going to be, you said, we're going to write a hit song.
Exactly.
And you did the thing.
And lived it, made it happen.
Every step of the way, there's principles, by the way. It's just principle.
Yeah, we eat corned beef and bread every day. Now, of course, you'll have to have a little...
Breaking up the people amp.
Yeah.
You think I said, listen to the story.
Mayfield,
Guys, the lines are open. 323-623-2325-431-6325-4259, anywhere from the Family Violence, 242-300-5720, or hit me up, 422-4796. Call on the line. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Jenny.
Hey, good afternoon, my brother. What's happening?
Great. Mr. Funky Nassau himself.
That's him.
Well,
they were the names, man. O.C. Smith. O.C. Smith, that's the one who said...
Little Green Apples. Well, he came with Count Basie as a vocalist. It's Count Basie's vocalist. No, all these people were here, and this is back in the 60s, at the Cat and Fiddle.
Let me name a few.
Okay. You know about that. Go ahead.
You sound like you used to be there. Let me hear it.
Jerry Butler, Nat King Cole, Sam and Dave. This is Artie and the Imperial, The Impressions, Benny King, James Brown, the Shirelles, Brooke Benton, and I could go on and on.
You are right.
And then you had people in the background like Fireball Freddy. You had Daddy Long Legs.
Exactly.
You had Little Joe. You had Bud Roy. And man, I was right there. But
And Fred Enfield. Fred Enfield, too. Huh?
I want to ask you a question, Ray. Let me test your memory.
No, go ahead.
Now, after you all made the hit Funky Nassau, which we all know was great. And I still love that today.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
But remember now, remember when y'all got some funds, y'all got some money, and y'all came back.
Uh-huh.
Remember Tree, y'all bought what, stingeries, right?
Why is that the only thing that people remember?
What you bought?
Stingray Corvette.
Oh, you buy some Corvette? Come on, you bought it. Let me hear it, because I would have bought a Corvette too. Let me hear it. Go ahead.
Corvette. But remember, the point I'm trying to get to is, you came and you drive in a place, area called Innis Lane or Bain-Town. Remember that? And you drove through Bain-Town and you come through there with so much speed, I never forgot it, because you're only 4 years older than me.
Uh-huh.
And that car, can you remember when that car that you was driving spin right round in the road about twice?
I knocked nobody down.
No, you knocked nobody down. I don't know if you remember that.
Vaguely, but you know, like I said, at the time I was 17, 18, you
yeah,
know.
Man. You drove in the area called Innis Lane, and you.
I know Innis Lane.
That car spun around about two times in the road, and you nothing happened. I always remember that.
Everything was under control. I had it under control.
Yeah, that's how you go, man.
Well, you know, but I'm sorry if I frighten anyone, but.
No. I'm not getting to that point with the frightening part. I would understand that it was really exciting that you remember that point when you during the car that's been around.
Yeah, well, what I was saying too is that whenever the conversation come up about that song and that time and that era, the people don't remember the music that we did and the impact it had on the world, because the song is more popular now than it was in 1971.
I agree.
Huh?
I agree, man.
And so, like I said, I was talking with Mr. Grant a few minutes ago. If you can actually just look on Facebook, on my Facebook, Raphael Munnings. I have a lot of, because we are putting a documentary together about the club, my father, and because even legacy he had before that. Is on his own, meaning, and like I said, a very quick story. He was, about he and Sidney Poitier, they were very good friends when Sidney lived here in his younger days. And so he went up to New York to visit with Sidney, And so when they got there, he said he was at Grand Central Station waiting for Sidney to come and pick him up so they could you know, prowl around New York a little bit. And so when they got to where he was working at the time, so Sidney, as you know, was a dishwasher. And he said he was telling Sidney, man, he felt so proud because a white man shined his shoes when he was sitting in Grand Central Station waiting for him to get there. So he said, man, I ain't going back to Bahamas. I can stay here in New York with you. And so Sidney said, well, you come here, follow me. We're gonna get the subway down to where I work. And I'll show you how subtle, but how serious the people are about the discrimination that goes on here in the country. So they went into the restaurant where he was working. And he said, now look at the counter. And he said he saw white and black people sitting together, elbow to elbow, and speaking with each other. And so he said, now come in the back where I wash the dishes. He said, now look at the counter again. He said, man, people, they happy talking to each other. He said, now look down in the dish pan. He had all blue dishes and all pink dishes. He said, now, if I ever washed the blue dishes and the pink dishes in the same water, I just fired myself.
That is crazy.
That is how...
So the illusion...
Exactly.
It was only the illusion.
Speak, Howard. Speak.
That's crazy. Why nobody telling these kind of stories?
Because they know, maybe. You know, but I know because...
My brother, I appreciate your telephone call. Thank you so much. That's, you know, you're blowing my mind today. I like these kind of things to be able to talk about it. Guys, give me a call. We're here, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the Family of Islands, 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. We got to take this commercial break. We're still here sitting there with none other than Raphael Ray Munnings, being able to talk to us about some really historic stuff. And how even on the surface of things, the perception of integration, the perception of unity, the perception of this idea of being able to move forward, there was a subtle, unpronounced space where segregation still exists. Are we still living in that kind of a space? Let's talk about it when we get back after this.
Just yesterday, overheard you say that love is a game for say you play to win, and just as soon as you begin, you have no respect for the rules. Oh, yeah. I wanna tell you, girl.
Happen to me.
Happen to me too. Yeah. Hey, just like it happened to me. Happen to you. Happen to me.
fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Attention Marco's Pizza lovers in Freeport and to our Cable Beach customers. We have heard you. Marco's $10 carryout, one large, one topping pizza is now available at all locations. That's right. Whether you live out east, west, central, south, or in Freeport, Marco's has you covered. Call in or order online and pick up in restaurant today. Marco's is getting bigger and better by the moment. This unbeatable deal is available for a limited time only.
Hi there. Are you overweight, have pre-diabetes or diabetes, high blood pressure or cholesterol, and want to reverse or manage these diseases? Our Get Fit 7 Weeks Wellness Program is for you. The program starts on Tuesday, April 1st, and space is limited. Call Better Living at 323-5473 or 328-5658 to reserve your spot. The life you save might be your own.
It's time to let the world know.
Get ready, Bahamas. It's the 242 sales that you've been waiting for. One day only on the 24th of February, 2025. The deals drop at 2:42 p.m. and end at 5:24 p.m. That's 2 hours and 42 minutes of massive savings. Shop over 24 amazing items, including furniture, appliances, kitchenware, and so much more. Score up to 60% off of your favorite finds right here on Market Street on the 24th of February at 2:42 p.m. Don't miss out. These deals are gone in a flash. Only at Bahamas Liquidation and Auction Center, where we say hello to goodbyes.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I had absolutely no idea I'd enjoy the show the way that I am today. I'm truly enjoying. I don't know if you are doing it. That's your business. I'm not in your business. But I am enjoying this. I'm sitting here with none other than Raphael Ray Munnings, being able to talk to us about history. I mean, and the tapestry thereof, to talk about it so rich, to talk about it like, and every step of the way, as he opens one story to another, I feel like I'm there. I'm there as we drive down the road with City Poitier, right? As we as his father being able to engage in this kind of a space to say, wow, I can't believe a white man cleaning my shoes. I must stay in New York. And then realize that at the subtle underbelly that segregation will never die.
Exactly right.
If it's only in the plates.
Pink and the blue dishes.
My God.
Never
and
wash
I can imagine
them in
how
the
much
water.
Bleach he had to put in them water just to be able to wash them. To think he's taken off the stench of a black man. And right on the surface,
right.
They elbow to elbow each other.
Life
is a dangerous thing, you know.
Well, we're right at that point. And like I tell the old man, don't like airplanes. So he said he jump on a boat. The slow boat is take 2 days to
get out of there.
Yeah, say, I'm out of here. So Sidney asked, you could stay? He said, no, I'm out of here.
But it's crazy that Sidney Poitier, not to shift the entire conversation, it's crazy that Sidney Poitier endured. He understood his position. He understood the dynamics of what was happening. He was able to be intuitive enough to see this. Mm-hmm. Because if your father could tell him this is what he see, and he could say, yeah, I know what you see on the surface,
yeah.
But let me take you to the underbelly. And he still stayed there and performed top tier
in
Hollywood, in the world. That means he used his environment like a chess game.
Well,
so he could be able to find the success.
Howard, I told you, you should have been born in 19. And when we needed management. We had this, the musical talent. We had the ability. We had the belief in ourselves that we could. We say this can be a hit record, and so it was. As it was in the why didn't we name our group the beginning of the end? That's the lazy eight, the snake eating his tail. If you turn infinity,
that's the
eight,
infinity sign. Yeah.
Turn it to the side, and that becomes
it continues.
Infinity.
That's the alpha and the omega.
How you know so good?
Well, you know, I read a couple of
things. Well, that's what I'm saying now. I know. I told you, I listened to you, and I know. Well, that's what we call the name of the group.
I tell you, but everything I see that you said to me is based in principles.
Yeah, and
now I don't know if you knew at the time that you were living principle. I don't know whether or not you took those steps and that determination with a clarity that you were living principle, but every step you took were principle-based.
And
I got to commend you guys, man. Y'all did a wonderful thing.
Thank you. But like I said, the majority of you, remember what you just heard? The man told me about me spinning around in the road with the Corvette. That's what most people remember.
I see. I have something right here with the Corvette. It says, Howard, your guest nostalgic history as a 64-year-old baby is exceptionally bright.
Exactly.
You're sharp. You keep it remembered. It says, I was born on the 8th day of the 8th month, and I hope to die on my 88th birthday. You're doing a lot. You can live to 98. Don't fight it, right? Mm-hmm. And then it says, I went to the Cat and Fiddle with my father to watch the NWA professionals wrestling at my age. This would have been in the 70s, and the Corvette was my favorite car in those young days. The people that talk about that Corvette, right? Let me take a telephone call. Caller, go ahead.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How you doing, my brother?
Fairly well, thank you. It's not just an enjoyable show. It's also an educational show.
Yes.
So I want to thank you for having your guest, and I want to thank your guest for being there.
Yes.
What made me call in initially was at the point where you mentioned about the Avon,
mm-hmm.
you know, how the Avon got in the play.
Into the Bahamas, yes.
Right, to have the women become income earners, independent of having to vote. To keep your
job.
Right. So that's very instructional and very informative.
Well, I can hear your voice. Let me just interrupt real for a minute. You know, my father, again, just like what he's saying, is like his band, the ratio of Bahamian West Indian, well, I would say was about 65, 35? Because he had Byron Lee and the Dragonaires work a whole year in the Cat and Fiddle. And Carlos,
crazy.
Carlos Malcolm was there for 2 years. Lil G and the guitarist Ernest Wrangler.
Your daddy was pulling together the world from right here in Nassau.
And I tell you, the people came to us. I didn't have to go to them. They came here. and stayed.
Byron Lee, who we love so much.
Exactly. And from the, he was there from the 60s. And so, you know, like I told you, what I was exposed to, I could not miss, or that's at least that's a phrase from one of the former writers, Oswald Brown,
wow,
who now lives in Washington. So my exposure to all of these things, it was there.
I'm right now on your Facebook page, and while I'm there, another thought came to me.
Mm-hmm.
I was in church the other day, and it was a Spanish-English translation.
Mm-hmm.
And they were speaking about the text from Peter,
mm-hmm,
and it was stated that Peter is Pedro. And so some Bahamians have the name Pedro,
mm-hmm,
and I noticed your name is Raphael.
Yes.
And that shows the Spanish flavor to the name as well.
Yes, yes, yes.
Right. Matthew is Matthew and things like that. So we in any event, it's international. And I appreciate you.
Thank you
man.
Much.
Thank you for your telephone call. Thank you so very kindly. Let me take a next telephone call before we get out of here. Caller, go ahead.
How you doing, Jens?
I'm good. What's happening, brother?
Well, you know, as a young musician, used to be a musician, you know, I came through government high school with the Justilian brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm listening to the show, you know, and I'm saying to myself, as a young musician, you know, when I used to play, I had the dream of being big. You know, I had the dream of doing a lot of things in music. And, you know, I wrote some music. I used to put the band together, and we used to jam through lunchtime. We used to do our thing. And, you know, I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at how the Bahamas is a tourist destination, you know, and we have so much of these artists that come down here where opportunity lies right at our footsteps. And I'm like, you're trying to tell me there's no consultation between Mr. Munnings and his brothers and people who have been there and done these things and collaborated with different artists. And my whole thing is, I mean, we could say, where's the private sector? Or we could also say, what is the money happening with all this money going, and where is it going? Because the development that could be happening, like, we could be using featured artists to put some gombe music behind it, like how we doing with Lenny Kravitz. You know, like, I'm trying to figure out where is the partnership between musicians and government. And I know that we're hearing the orange economy coming on and this and that, but where's the real concrete information and expertise that we could collaborate with people like Mr. Money?
I appreciate your telephone call, my brother. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. You want to touch that?
Well, you know, like I said, my last birthday, I was 77.
Mm-hmm.
Funky Nassau, one of the biggest records, songs to come out of this country, they now call it.
So you turned 77 on the 7th, and you was born in 1947. 47.
And
that's a lot of sevens.
You didn't
put $20 in that, you were straight.
Yeah, well, no, I don't gamble.
I know, I just asked you.
But no, what I'm saying, though, the other thing, my other brother, the other two brothers with me at the time that were part of the music, mm-hmm, that we did, Leroy and Frank, have already passed several years ago now. Really, out of the original group, I'm, knock on wood, I'm the only person that's living from the original group. As a matter of fact, they weren't a part of the group, but my first cousin, Ralph Munnings, who plays tenor and alto sax and flute and all those things. As a matter of fact, Hubert Laws was his teacher. Hubert Laws came here as a guitarist with Benny King. And my father asked him to please stay and to teach my cousin and my brother the guitar, because he also played Hubert Laws. Are you familiar with that name?
No.
He's a flautist.
Okay.
But one of the top, if not the top in the world.
I didn't know Kenny G.
Well, that's a close sax. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, but like I said, too. Well, if you look on the Facebook, like the gentleman there said he did, and you say the proximity of how do you pass the knowledge on, that's a very, very, very good question.
I like how he set that up, and I won't talk about that. Somebody, mm-hmm, texts me just now and says, ask you,
mm-hmm,
about the relationship that y'all had with Stafford Sands.
Oh, that's another long story. But I could do a quick one. The story was that the cruise ships, at that time, the cruise ships would have to close all the or everything that can make the casinos, everything that can make money. Once they were in port, they couldn't open anything. That they would have to leave the ship and come on board to come to one of the clubs either on Bay Street or over the hill where the Cat and Fiddle was, or up in Fox Hill where other clubs were, and spread the money around. At that time, people would get, when the ship was coming into the harbor, the must be the cruise director or whatever, would get on the microphone and say, do not go over the hill, because if you do, your wife will be raped. You're possibly, ooh, hold on. It's a possibility could be that if you drink out of the glasses, you might get tuberculosis.
This is why the pink and red plates. Go ahead.
Well, so, I know what I'm saying now. There's so many things, like I say, I don't want to turn it into that kind of show, but this was what was happening at that time.
So where's Stafford Sands coming?
Well, Stafford Sands came to my father and told him, if you don't stop letting the PLP have the room that they were letting the PLP hold their convention.
Which room? This was the Ghana
free.
Room? Or?
The Ghana room.
But who's the Ghana room?
I changed the name to...
This was your room now?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, good.
But no, but that is when they were having the shows, of course. That was the old man's time. But my point is, they said, if you don't stop that, we can close you down. Meaning we won't send the people in. They were selling thousands of people per week to the club, to the Cat and Fiddle right next door there. So, like I said, I don't want to get into that kind of conversation on the show, but we can take the gloves off, and if someone can want to deny that on another show, we could get into it. So, all of these things, I guess.
How did you combat that to find yourself in the position where you still were thriving? Did you give into it?
How do you fight City Hall? If they control it, where the people of the cruise ships go, and you tell the old man told them to go fly a kite.
Ain't nothing change.
Then they turned it around to where they told him they would like to take over the club, and they'd like to hire him.
The people won't buy your things. They want to gentrify your whole thing.
Well, you understand what I'm saying?
Oh!
So it's as long as this ain't no fairy tale. These are facts and can be.
I want to touch something before I get out of here. The gentleman just called and started to ask the fact that he has been committing himself to doing these things and all this stuff like that. Now, I purposely asked the questions that I asked so I could travel in a particular direction. Now, this is not to perpetuate segregation, but this is for you to understand some things. I need you to hear. From we got the code, violets are blue. Mm-hmm. I need you to understand, to my guest, to the gentleman, the young man who just called, who said he was in the school, he listened to the school. Okay. From we got the code between a black voice that was able to pull people together with Afro, with Negro spirituals to walk over in Selma. Mm-hmm. From we got this sort of an idea, and he himself understood in his capacity as a preacher, this religion that he has gotten from the white man. My God, I won't get deep for 2 seconds.
Please do.
He found himself in the Bahamas where there was peace and tranquility and an opportunity for him to be himself. Did whatever he could to find that space. Came here on a code. That means it was a universal understanding that there was power in your voice as a black man. I need you to hear me. There was power beyond the power in your voice. There was power in the rhythm behind your voice. It caused people to move. And the only thing you could do is spew propaganda about tuberculosis, about rape, about these sort of ideas to separate people from a rhythm that will move their soul, their spirit, into a different direction. After 1973, if you don't understand that this was by design, because it didn't just happen here in this country, you all need to understand this. This is deep what I'm doing. This segregation, separation, and the eradication of the black voice, the rhythm, and the authority that we had, if you don't understand that stopped in the Bahamas, in the United States of America, and simultaneously was introduced crack cocaine, you would not understand the history of who you are as a people. This was an extremely mind-blowing, breathtaking interview that I had today. And you've taught me a lot. Mm-hmm. And where I thought this was going to be the rhythm of all, you have said to me that we still have the power and the empowerment to step out on our own and make some things happen.
Let me just, I don't want to interrupt, but the other part of that story was, and this is what my father said to me. He said, Malcolm's main question to him was, how are you going to take over the country without firing one shot? That's really what he really wanted to know. And you then, know, that's what we did.
Mother sick, you are blowing my mind.
Sorry about that.
How you can take over the country without shooting one shot? And if Malcolm if Martin identified that, and your father heard that in his air shot, the only thing they had to do was shut you all down. This is too much. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a great story today, my brother. I have to bring you back again. You got to do part two. I want to hear more about Stafford Sands interview. I want to hear about this kind of what happened in that kind of a space.
Still want to hear about that. They want to buy the club. So they will. He could stay on as the band leader, but they'll take over the whole.
And you know what's crazy?
Yeah.
Look who owned the club now. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Bananas. It's a great show. I want to be able to thank you so kindly, my brother. Listen to me. You are welcome with me anytime and every time. I truly enjoy this. And I want to commend you and your entire family for this lineage, this legacy, this inheritance that you have. And not only being able to hoard it to yourself, but being able to release it to the Bahamian public for us to be able to understand our strength and moving forward, upward, onward, together. Ladies and gentlemen, that's none other than Raphael Ray Munnings, Funky Nassau. We're going to see you tomorrow right here on The Foundation.